As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Well, hello and welcome to the Race IndyCar podcast. It's simple this week. We've no race to break down. We've opened up the address book, and who better to call than the reigning IndyCar champion, Alex Flow. So now we've got two people who finished second in the Indy 500 on the line with JR Hildebrand here as well. Alex, before we go any further, it's been September since we last had you on the show. So have you found any new fried chicken places to recommend to the listeners?
Thank you for having me. It's always fun to be here. But no, I haven't, because I haven't won any race. So if I don't win, I cannot really discover new places.
in the off season, no, you didn't find anywhere after you'd won the championship that you could treat yourself. No.
No, because I had the opportunity to go back home, obviously, to see the family and friends. So I had to spend some time there. I had some Spanish food, obviously, some really good food that I was enjoying there. So, yeah, I cannot wait for some fried chicken now. It's time.
What's the go-to, like, homely dish that you have when you go back to Spain? Like, if there's one thing you have to eat when you go back to Spain, it's only the same when you go back there. What would that be?
It must be paella.
It's gotta be.
It's really good. I love it. And it's something that it's you can only get there, let's say. I know you can get somewhere else, but the really good one, or the style I like, it's only in Spain. So yeah, I get paella. It's good. I could do a paella now as well.
JR, you've been to Spain? Have you had paella in Spain before?
I have. It's been a little while, but been to Barcelona and in and out of Madrid. So have a bit of experience. Alex, is there anywhere in Indianapolis for Spanish food that you can recommend?
I haven't tried, to be honest. It's like, yeah, maybe it's not the best to try and find a Spanish place here. It's like when I was in Japan racing there, everybody at the team, they wanted to take me to like Spanish restaurants. And I was like, no, I'm not in Japan to eat Spanish food, right? So I'm here to eat Japanese.
That's fair.
But same here, haven't looked for any place, but I'm sure there should be some good places.
I think all of this is adding up to the race's extensive budget to pay for us to go to Spain and have some paella together and a few estrellas.
I'll join. Let's do it. We need a new computer first, Jack.
Yes, JR does need a new computer, which we need to pay for. But anyway, JR, to put you on the spot for a minute, what's impressed you most about Alex's kind of rapid rise in the IndyCar series here? I know I definitely got mine, but what would yours be?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast, Alex. I think for me last year, just from your first race with Ganassi, and it was something that I think it's a part of why they hired you in the first place from your rookie year the previous season. But to me, the most impressive thing was just your demeanor throughout the season from the very get-go. Coming in, winning the first race, not seeming as though you were feeling any pressure to do that, and just being able to get in the car, go do your thing. You know, it's a position coming to one of, if not the top teams in the IndyCar series with Scott Dixon as a teammate, Marcus Ericsson, who had another year under his belt than you and been at that team, to be able to come in and just be to have that kind of freedom, you know, that feeling of ease coming in and just to go do what you were there to do from the get-go was something that impressed me seeing it from the outside. And throughout the year, you know, towards the end of the season, you had the engine failure, and then there was a moment where it sort of seemed like, okay, you wouldn't fault somebody for kind of being on the back foot at that point. Like, oh, you know, we've had a lead here and now it's dwindled. People are catching up. You know, there's still a few races left. Other things could go wrong. And it just, you had a smile on your face, like, all right, we'll just go do our thing again. So I think that to me, it's a different, you know, in sports, you talk about athletes having a sort of champion's mindset. And sometimes you think about that being this really gritty, you know, kind of intense perspective on what it is they're there to do, a sort of a fighter's mentality. And while we know that you've got that, you know, sort of like inside you, it was refreshing to watch you also have, you know, just, you could kind of like roll your shoulders back and just get on with it. Like that's also obviously turned out to be a champion's mindset at the end of the day. So, I was really impressed with that throughout the season.
Thank you so much.
I wasn't really that impressed. I think Alex could have been better last year, really. I think 10 podiums in 19 races is not good enough. I think
I tried.
It could have been 11 or 12 for sure. Like, come on, you've got to pull it out this year, Alex.
Could have been 19 as well. So,
Alex, I've got to ask about your kind of demeanor and things since you've become a champion, because I know you're a very kind of humble guy anyway, and you don't really let kind of winning a race affect your kind of mindset or things like that. But you must have been very busy with, you know, media appearances and visits and things in the off season after you won the championship. But now we are kind of back to racing, you know, are people starting to recognize you in the street a little bit more? And are you starting to notice, you know, people kind of seeing this is Alex Palou, the IndyCar champion, you know, just a bit more recognition than you might have had before, do you think?
Yeah, a bit more than obviously the first year or last year at the beginning or even at the end. So I get a bit more recognized at the races and stuff. But at the same time, I have Jimmy Johnson and Scott Dixon as my teammates. So it's tough to beat that. It's like I'm still really small compared to Jimmy, which is 100% normal. But that makes me feel like I don't have as much media, as much stuff going on, so that makes me feel a bit more calm, because if you would see Jimmy's schedule, you would be like mind blown. So I was a bit more busy the first couple of races this season, but it's been really fun. Like I got to travel to St. Pete, good weather, 2 days before, 3 days before at Long Beach, which was also good weather, and I had to spend some time in LA. So it's been fun so far, and all the media stuff that I'm doing, it's talking good, how good last year was and how good we started this year. So it's just pushing us a bit more, and it's been fun so far.
So, I mean, you spend a career working your way up to trying to get to a championship like IndyCar in the first place. And then before too long, you've gone and won the championship there. That's a quick kind of ascension coming from Japan, coming over, entering into the IndyCar series, and then boom, you know, your second year in with one of the best teams in the series, you go beat Scott Dixon, Marcus, you know, these guys talking about having Jimmy on your team. You know, coming into this season, how has your mentality changed about just your sort of competition level? Are the expectations different? You know, how are you coming into this season, kind of looking at this year?
Yeah, I think I was really fortunate, and I'm still really fortunate to have the opportunity to go so fast to a top team. You know how difficult it is in IndyCar, but I guess I was in the good place and the good timing, right? Everything was good. And also the teammates I had made me feel really comfortable in the team. Having Scott Dixon, he's, you know, Scott, he's a guy that is super open and he knows so much that you can learn all day about him, about Jimmy, about Marcus as well, all the experience he has in F1. And he had already one year with the team. So it was like a comfortable scenario for me to enter. And this year, I think I'm still the same as last year. I mean, we won the year, we won the championship last year, but we still want to do a bit more, a bit better. We know the competition is super high. I have more points than last year, but we're 30 in the championship. So it's always like super tough in IndyCar. But I feel I'm more comfortable, obviously, just because of the experience, not because of the fact that we won last year. And maybe I have some more confidence in some places that we did good last year, just because I know I can push a lot there, that I feel good with the car, and that obviously not having to win, because we did already last year, that takes a bit of pressure off. It's like I don't need to do something I never done before.
And so I guess talk to me about, maybe from a more tactical perspective over this off season, were there any particular areas that either as a team at Ganassi or on the 10 car specifically that you guys felt like, okay, we can definitely get better and maybe need to put a little bit of extra emphasis on preparing for these types of tracks or these types of situations coming into the season after such a successful year last year?
Yeah, lots of stuff. I think we were really good last year, but there was some places that we were really bad as well. One of the things we focused as a team was qualifying. We still haven't achieved what we wanted. We were in the top six, fast six in qualifying at Long Beach, which was a good improvement, but we still don't have that one lap pace as some other teams. So we're moving better and on the 10 car, but specifically me, I wanted to focus on ovals. I did really good last year at Indy and I felt really comfortable, but you know, Indy's different to other races because you have so much running, you have testing, you can get comfortable with a car and you can get comfortable with following cars, passing and stuff. But other races like Texas, I struggled to be there. It was not the best of my weekends. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the next oval races like Iowa. I think it's going to be super cool, Gateway as well. So yeah, on my side, personally, I focused a bit on ovals, which, hopefully will come soon.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So it felt like coming into the recent Long Beach race, Alex, kind of building off what you were just saying, that people weren't really talking about you a lot, you know, despite the fact that you finished second and improved massively at St. Pete somewhere. That was quite a tricky weekend for you and the team last year. And, you know, Texas was also a good solid result as well, which I think, as you've just mentioned, you know, was probably felt like an improvement on how you felt at Texas last year. So do you feel like people maybe underestimating or not quite understanding exactly how good your start to the year has been? And can you tell us a little bit more about how you feel it's gone from a personal perspective?
I think personally, the 10 car did really good. Like we started really good the year. We got two podiums in three races. Three top tens. It's always good in IndyCar to score those good points. And if you have a really bad weekend and you finish seventh, like we did at Texas, that means you're having a good start of the season. But the thing is that there's been some other drivers that had a better start than us. Like Joseph won two races, Scott won one and scored a second place at Texas. So they did really well and they are really strong this year. I think all the Penske group is super, super strong. But yeah, I think there's some races that are coming now, like Barber, that we did really good last year. And hopefully we can get our head up there and try and win it, which we were really close at Long Beach. We didn't really had everything put together, and Joseph was just perfect that day.
I'm curious, just among the Ganassi cars, you know, it seems like you've clicked just with your team, on the guys on your team, on the 10 crew, right from the beginning. Can you give us any insight into what you feel like between you and the 9 and the 8, you know, what do you feel like you guys do so well together, even compared to your teammates?
Difficult to say. I think if you want to know how we work as a team, everybody works just for the team, not for one car. Like the 9 car, they don't work separately to the 10 right. car or the 8. So we work all the same, but once obviously we are at the track, we work our own ways depending on what we need. I think what we've been really good at so far, and we've had some luck as well, which you need on racing, it's been on during the races. The pit stops been great. They've done a really good job. I think the crew is matching all together. Like, I think they need to communicate and feel comfortable working on each other, all the mechanics. And we had that. So hopefully we can still have that all the year, and we can still do really good pit stops and strategies. But yeah, I don't know. It's like everything works at the moment. You know, in racing, there's some seasons that everything works and you don't know why, but it just works. And there's some other seasons which are going to come, or some races that nothing works. So yeah, we need to try and get the advantage of the good momentum that we have now and try and score some good wins.
So what you're saying is it's all luck. Everything's luck, basically, that you guys are so good.
Not all, but you always need, like, you need to have some good luck as well. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think St. Pete, we were a bit lucky with a yellow that put us made me catch Scott and Power at the end and got me to try and overtake them or try and fight for the win. So yeah, you always need a bit of luck. We had that so far. But as I said, there's going to be some moments where we don't have, as we did last year. Like we had some moments of no luck, but yeah, we made it.
I think you may be being a bit hard on yourself, but anyway, you mentioned pit stops, and I wanted to ask you, I think after the Long Beach race, you said maybe that outlaps is a place where maybe you've been trying to work on. And I was quite surprised by that, because I tend to keep quite a good eye on the times of outlaps and things, and usually quite high up in the order. So I wondered if you could explain a bit more, if it was outlaps that you were talking about and what it is that you're trying to work on there, perhaps.
Well, I think always you need always to try and improve the outlaps. I think it's a place where you can make a 1 second difference while on track. You cannot make that. I mean, yeah, you can, but you can make it only like 10th by 10th, and that takes like 10 laps. But 1 second on an outlap, it's nothing. So it's super important to always be up there. And what I was saying at Long Beach, I think normally we're pretty good, but at Long Beach, having to do an undercut where you need to really push it on the outlap, I had to focus a lot on making sure I was not losing any time there, which we did really well. I think we were like P2 on the outlaps, but still was not enough to get that P1 or that track position with Joseph. So we need to always try and focus on that. It's super important in IndyCar, not having tire warmers. I think if you look at the timesheet, sometimes you see a 2.5 second gaps between the fastest and maybe top 15. So it's big chunks of lap time.
I think the thing I like is, obviously, in like for people who are watching Formula One, the undercut is really quite powerful in Formula One, but they aren't refueling. So you guys are, compared to Formula One, you guys are pitting, adding fuel to make the car heavier, and then putting freezing cold tires on. So you've got like a double whammy of the car's heavier and also the tires are cold. So, you know, what you guys are able to do on the outlaps, you know, it must be just so difficult. JR and I were talking about this last week, because Joseph had a couple of really good ones in Long Beach. And yeah, it must just be such a difficult thing to be able to nail and to be consistent with as well, based on the fact that the car is moving around and it's heavy and difficult to control.
Yeah, it's tough also because it's completely new tires. So when we go out, there's the tires still shiny and you have like two or three corners where it's completely ice and you cannot turn, you cannot brake, but you want to still brake late, you start locking up. So it's interesting moments. I think on street courses, it's even tougher than road courses. Road courses, you normally have more high speed corners and you know, you have some runoff area that if something was to happen, you still have some margin there. But on a street course, man, you don't have any. So I think it's super exciting. It makes the race really exciting. Normally it doesn't work, the undercut, but we made it work on the first stop at Long Beach, which was great, I thought. But yeah, I think it's what makes IndyCar a bit more special, right? Instead of just putting fresh tires, like warm already and pushing straight on the outlap, you need to work yourself and hustle the car. So it's fun.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned your teammates, you know, quite a few times, and I know you're always keen to praise them for not just for what they do for the team, but the role they've had in helping you to adapt as well since you've moved to the team. But obviously now you've won a championship and, you know, the fans who are looking at it from the outside, you know, they'll see someone who's come into the team and won a championship yourself. And then Scott Dixon, who's a six-time champion who wants to win another championship, and Marcus Ericsson, who's desperate to win his first IndyCar title as well. So just for the listeners, talk a little bit about whether that relationship between the teammates has changed and, you know, how that kind of works now that you're a champion. You know, have you seen anything change at all in how you guys work together, or has everything kind of remained the same?
No, not really. To be honest, everything, it feels the same as last year. I think everybody, I think we are in like different levels. Like Scott Dixon, it's like, come on, he's got on IndyCar. So it's he doesn't need to show anything. He doesn't need to hide anything, or he already won six championships. He's going to win another one. I don't know when, if it's going to be this year, next year, in 2 years,
10 years from
whenever
now,
whenever he's yeah. Right. Like he's going to win another one. And then Marcus has been super strong this year and also the past year. So we're like pushing each other. We know we all are really fast, and if we can make the team faster and the car faster, it's just going to make all of us faster and better, more competitive. So yeah, so far the relationship between all of us, it's been great, and hopefully we can continue like that. So yeah.
So I want to talk about what appear to be your biggest competition this year in the Penske group. They've had a bit of a resurgence coming into the season, scaling down just to three cars, but with Scott coming on as strong as he has at the beginning of the season, clearly three very strong cars, a little bit like the three of you guys at Ganassi at the beginning of the year last year just seemed sort of dominant right off the bat. I'm wondering what you make of that as far as your sort of competition, if you think of them as being the guys that you have to beat. I mean, early in the season here, it's obviously looking that way, but even Andretti's made, you know, sort of a comeback. They team as a group to be a little bit stronger with Romain there and Colton and Alexander being sort of back on pace. What do you feel about just the sort of competition level in the series right now? And who are you looking at right now thinking, okay, I think late in the season, these are probably the guys that we're going to have to be, you know, keeping our closest tabs on.
I can answer that, all of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, IndyCar, you know, come on, it's like, it's so tough, man. It's crazy. Like, if you don't have a good session, you suddenly are like P17 and you don't know why. It's not like you go out and you are either P1 or P5. You can be P17 1 second off and you're like, oh my God, what do I do now? So it's super tough. Obviously, Penske, as a group, I think they did an amazing job. All the drivers as well, like Scott, I think what he did the first two races was amazing. He was going to win that one as well. And Joseph, the past 5 years, he's either won or finished second. So when he has a bad day, a good year, a good car, a bad car, he's always there. And yeah, he's tough to beat. He's really tough to beat. He can have one of those weekends where he's completely dominant and you cannot catch him, like I think was last year at Mid-Ohio, where he just finished P1 in all the sessions, every single session, and it's like, how can I get there? So yeah, they're going to be really tough to beat, all the Penske's. We saw Will Power having a good start of the year as well. I think he finished in the top five, the three races we had. Scott, Marcus, everybody at my team. then you have Colton, which he can be, as Joseph, like super quick and completely dominant in one weekend. We saw Roman as well, Rossi. I mean, man, and we're not taking into account McLaren's there that
Pato, got a lot of guys.
Which, you know, it just takes a good weekend to then start having a good season. So yeah, we just want to have good weekends, even when we are struggling, and try and win when we have a good car. I think that Long Beach was an opportunity for us to win it, and we lost that one. But we need to try and get the wins that we can make, because there's going to be some weekends where we just struggle and you cannot even get there.
So I'm curious, you know, you've had a chance now up at the front to really race wheel to wheel with a lot of these guys. Who have you enjoyed racing against the most? Who do you feel like, they were a little cagier than I thought they might be? You know, is there anything that you've picked up on and kind of enjoyed that competitiveness wheel to wheel against other drivers so far?
It's JR. Say JR.
we haven't.
I gotta get myself up into the same same operating window as these guys.
Yeah, I have to say, Joseph, man, he's a guy that. He's super aggressive, both on trying to defend and overtake, but he's super clean. You know he's gonna leave you some room so you can go through the next corner.
You can both go deep. Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of the same way. Like if we look at Long Beach, I was maybe too aggressive at turn five. It was not a place that you could overtake, but it was the only chance I had, in my opinion. And I left room. I could have just gone straight and boom, wheel to wheel, and he was gone. Or both of us were gone. Like it was not the right thing to do, obviously. But yeah, I enjoy racing Joseph a lot. I enjoy a lot of guys, but there's some guys that you know that if they need to crash you, they'll crash you, and you're like, oh man, no, please. So yeah, Joseph is one of the guys that I enjoy the most.
He's definitely got a reputation for being hard but fair, Joseph, and it's always it was really cool to see you guys racing on that where Joseph came out from that outlap in Long Beach. I mean, just from your perspective, I mean, how sketchy was that? And it was, you know, it looked really close.
It was really close, and I did, like, turn five, you cannot overtake there. I mean, he needs to have an issue, but turn six on the outside was super dirty, and I knew it was super easy to just defend there, and then it was over from there. So it was the only place where I could just try and settle him so I could overtake him into turn six. So yeah, I just needed to put some pressure on him. It was really sketchy because I went too much on the curb and the car jumped and I almost spun going on throttle with the overtake. So it was like all messy. but yeah, it was fun. Obviously the outcome was not as fun, but it was close racing and it was on the limit of spinning there. So yeah, I was lucky.
the exit of turn five, I think you were sideways for like 3 or 4 seconds, like getting the power.
Yeah, because the issue is that I went on the overtake button and then the engine was, it was too much power for the turn I had. So yeah.
I guess I kind of wanted to take us back a little bit now, Alex, and go back to Barber last year, because obviously the next race is Barber, and that's what the guys listening to the podcast will be kind of looking forward to now. And I kind of wanted to kind of get your feelings now reflecting back on it, because I remember at the time that was a really busy period before the race and after the race. And obviously you just switched teams. There was a lot going on. You were learning a lot, and then you won your first race with the team and that was great. But then suddenly that involved a lot of, like, I guess you were doing a lot of media after that, and then you were focusing on the next race, and you didn't really probably get time to really think about that race and what it meant to you for your career and personally, what a big achievement that felt. So what do you feel now with the ability to kind of of having a year gone by to kind of think about that race now. What does it mean to you for yourself?
Yeah, that was amazing. It was an amazing weekend overall. Like, first race with the team, we qualified in the fast six, which was super good. And then we won the race. So, yeah, what a way to start with a team or a season, right? So I felt amazing. I was a bit lucky that we got 2 test days before the race there. So I knew how the car was handling. I knew what I needed from the car. I knew where I was good, where I was not good. So that's, it was like everything was put together for me to try and make a good result there. And we did. So yeah, it was super special for me. First win in IndyCar. I couldn't really believe it, that it was coming so early and that everything went so well. Like, it was not a luck race. I think it's one that we had to work on. We had to save some fuel against Power and Dixon, which are the best at saving fuel. And it was my first time trying to save fuel and trying to win the race. So I was like, oh no, how do I do that? So it was a fun weekend. It's a fun place to drive IndyCars. It's, I think, one of the toughest tracks we go to physically. And it's always awesome to go through there. So I can't wait to go back. We have a good car. We were able to test there a few weeks ago again, and it felt good. So yeah, can't wait.
So I guess looking ahead to Barber, you know, from the outside, it seems like the type of place that your driving style, watching over the course of the year, is sort of particularly suited to, like the road courses in particular. It rewards being smooth. It rewards being able to be sort of a little delicate on the tires over the course of stints. You know, the guys that are really driving the hell out of the car and they're sideways and they're working it, maybe looks fast on street circuits sometimes, but on a track like that, doesn't always, you know, reward you at the end of the day. So I'm wondering if you feel that's the same case, you know, where is Barber among the places you feel like, you just coming from your background, that you were suited to being good at right away, in addition to having a good car and having those test days? And, you know, did that add to your confidence going there?
Yeah, 100%. It's like a new European style track, super smooth. You can get some curbs, long corners, high-speed corners. So it's like being in Europe. But then you go to other, like Road America, it has nothing to do with Europe. So bumpy and so long and up and down. So, yeah, I think Barber is a place where I feel really comfortable. You never know if we show up now and I start struggling, but like, yeah, come on, I don't want to. But yeah, I feel good. I think also that, as you say, my driving style being smooth and not working so much with the car, it's really beneficial there, just because of the corners and how you have the braking zone, especially the last sector. It's super tough. If you're working too hard with a car, you're not going to make it through there. So yeah, I think it fits me. Hopefully we can still have a good weekend there. And I can still enjoy Barber.
You mentioned about being smooth, Alex. I just wondered, since you've kind of come into the Ganassi team and your teammates have seen your driving style as much as you've seen theirs, have they been keen to try and learn some things with things like tyre management and at places like Barber, where you're maybe naturally keeping the wheel straighter and you're not, you know, you're much more kind of, I don't think conservative is the right word, but maybe balanced is the right word in terms, yep, of your kind of your driving style. Has that helped the other guys, do you think? Have they been keen to ask you about that and learn from you on that?
Yeah, I think that sharing all the data and being able to see, you can really see easily the steering traces and the brake traces. And we try and adapt. Obviously, the way that Scott drives is something natural for him, and the way I drive, it's natural for me. So it's just easier for us to do our own styles. But yeah, I think we've been trying to I've been trying to learn from Marcus in some areas and from Scott in some others that they are better. Like Scott is so good on hard braking zones. He's like insane. He's like, he's driving an F1 car, like braking so deep into the corner, but the car is sideways. So for me, I'm not used to that. And I'm trying to learn from that and try and improve that. But yeah, I would say that we are learning a little bit from each other. But it's always tough. It's always tough to do something that it's not natural for you.
Well, I'd love to sit here and ask you about your driving style and food for the rest of the day, but I'm sure you have other things to do. So if you're listening now, don't forget to go back and hear up some of our catalogue of podcasts, which includes episodes with Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin, who seem to be Alex Palou's closest rivals to start this season. I don't know if that will stay the same. It could be any one of about 10 other people who might join that mix. We'll have to wait and see. But we'll be back after Barber, where Alex Palou is definitely going to win, I hope, after coming on this
nice.
Podcast.
Thank you. It will be a good omen
for you winning the race. So thanks, Alex, for joining us, and good luck finding some fried chicken next time out.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for having me once again. And yeah, I hope I can get some fried chicken after Barber.
The Athletic.